Please turn in your Bibles this morning to the book of Psalms. I would like to begin reading from Psalm 95. Psalm 95. I'd like to read the first seven verses. Before we begin to endeavor to read from God's holy word, I would ask you to please join your hearts together with me in a moment of prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the privilege that we have to call upon the one true and living God, who is all-powerful and all-wise, the one who spoke this world into existence and the one who will bring it to a close. And we're thankful that we can say our Father, not just our God, not just our Savior, not just our Lord, but we can say our Father. For when we hear about how God is our Father, it causes us to marvel, even as John said, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God." It's an amazing thing. We can't comprehend how you would even let us be like angels, much less to be called the sons of God. So we thank you for your amazing grace. We thank you, Father, for sending thine only begotten Son into the world to save us from our sins. We're thankful that we know that the eternal heaven is real, and one day we're going to be there forever because of your work, your power, and your grace, and the blood of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for saving us from our sins, and thank you for helping us each day here in this world. We know that we've needed your help so many times. We know that we cannot draw the next breath without thy blessings upon us. So we thank you for sustaining us even to this very hour. We know it is your sustaining grace that has spared us to this hour. And we pray now that you would help us as we try to hear the word of God, that thy word would find a lodging place in our hearts, and that it would bring forth fruit to perfection in each of our lives. Bless us now as we read and study from thy holy word. We pray in the blessed and holy name of our elder brother, our Lord, and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Reading now, I'd like to read from Psalm 95. Psalm 95, beginning with verse 1, reading through verse 7. The Word of God says, "O come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto Him with psalms." And then he tells us why we need to come and sing. In verse 3, he says, "For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods." That's a reason to sing right there. He says, "In his hands are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is his also. The sea is his, and he made it. And his hands formed the dry land." That's a reason to sing. Everything he's just said, because of how great God is, we need to be singing. And then he says in verse 6, he says, "Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker." For, and he's going to tell us why we need to worship in the seventh verse. He says, "For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand." Last Sunday night, we began trying to look at Isaiah, where the Word of God says, "O come ye, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us his ways." Now that verse of scripture says there was going to come a day that many would say, "Come, let's go up to the house of God, and he will teach us of his ways." That's one thing that all of us need to be doing all during the week. We need to be encouraging others to come, to go. We're supposed to be going out there and say to others, "Come to the house of God, and He will teach us His ways. Another thing we looked at last Sunday night, a second statement about us going and telling others to come, is that we're to go and tell others to come because the Lord has prepared a marriage supper. Come and feed on the Word of God. We're supposed to be going and telling others to come to the house of God so that their souls can be fed. So we want to come to the house of God, and we want to tell others to come so that God will teach us His ways. We want to go and tell others to come so that their souls can be fed. And then the last thing we looked at last Sunday night was Revelation 22 and verse 17, which says, "The Spirit and the bride say, come." Now, we're the bride. We're the bride of Christ. And the Word of God says, "The Spirit and the bride say, come and take the water of life freely." So there are three reasons there that we need to be telling others to come. Come to the house of God, and He will teach us His ways. Come to the house of God, and our souls will be fed. Come to the house of God and take of the living water. Now today we're going to begin again with another reason that God tells us to tell others and to go, and we're supposed to say, come, and He's going to tell us why they need to come and why we need to come to the house of God. Psalm 95 and verse 1, the Word of God says, "Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord." Do you hear that? Five words. Oh, come, let us sing. Brethren, singing is one of the greatest blessings that we have as God's people. I like to sing. I like to sing by myself. I like to sing in the shower. I like to sing when I'm riding down the highway. Sometimes I sing. We have a CD. One of Brother Josh and Sister Macy and several of them that are singing. And when they're singing, I like to sing with them, listening to that CD. And then me and my family, we recorded a CD. Any of you that want that or the one that Brother Joshua has, we'll be glad to give you some of those tapes, because you need to be listening to singing that's edifying to your soul and feeds your soul. And sing with us. And then we have the great privilege to come to the house of God. And we're to say, oh, come. We're to say to others, come, let us sing. Let's sing. I am so thankful that God's Word several times makes it clear that it is not necessary for you to hit every right note. I think we ought to sing as best we can. I think if I can learn how to sing better, I need to learn how to sing better. I want to do whatever I do in my service to God to the best of my ability. I think we can learn to sing better, and you need to learn to sing better. But God just says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. So there are a lot of God's saints that can't sing and hit the right notes. It's not necessary to worship God by hitting the right notes. The Word of God just says, come. I'm telling you, one of the things that helps me to sing is to sing with brethren that know how to sing and lift up our voices together. That's one of the greatest blessings in the house of God, is for us to come and sing the songs of Zion. The Word of God teaches us that we learn from hearing singing, just like we learn from hearing preaching. Turn in your Bibles to Colossians chapter 3. Turn to the New Testament and see that the Word of God emphasizes that we're to teach one another while we're singing. There's probably not a song that people are preached at a funeral, I believe Friday in Glenwood, Georgia. And one of the songs that was sang there was a song that is sung at many funerals. And that is "Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me." Does that song teach you anything? Brethren, I'm telling you, you could preach the rest of your life truths from God's Word that are expressed in that song. Every verse of that song is expressing truth that's found in the Word of God. And so we can learn amazing grace. The grace of God is amazing. It's amazing that God would ever love somebody like me. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound. When you know how wretched you are, when you know what a sinner you are, you'll appreciate the grace of God. And we need to sing about the grace of God. So I love to sing Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. I'll tell you, it's even worse than being lost and blind. I was dead in trespasses and sins, and God came to me and quickened me. And then I was lost, and He came to me, and He brought me back. And I was blind, and He opened my eyes. The second verse of that song and every other verse talks about the grace of God and how God takes care of us. It's grace that has brought us safe thus far, and grace will lead me on. Does that song teach you something? Yes, it does. Colossians chapter 3. Verse 16, the Word of God says in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16, let the Word of Christ. You see, when we sing, it is imperative, it's important, it's absolutely essential that whatever we sing be words of truth. It is just as wrong to sing something that is not true as it is to preach something that is not true. Because, in fact, I'm going to say, it is worse to sing untruth than it is to preach untruth, because people don't remember preaching half as long as they remember the words of a song. You sing, you memorize, you memorize one of the Psalms in the Word of God. Memorize it. But I'll tell you what, you find one of the Psalms in the Word of God that's put to music, and you learn to sing that psalm, and you won't ever forget it. I've seen people that had Alzheimer's and didn't know anybody, and I would start singing Amazing Grace, and they would move their mouth, and before long they would start singing Amazing Grace. The last thing that you'll remember when you start losing your mind is the songs that are in the Word of God. We need to teach one another. Colossians 3:16 says, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Why do we want to say to others, come to the house of God? Because He will teach us His ways. Come to the house of God, because He will feed our souls. Come to the house of God and take the water of life freely. And then in Psalm 95:1, He says, come, oh come, let us sing. Brethren, singing is a great, great blessing to the saints of God. You remember how Paul and Silas, when they were put in prison, listen, brethren, one of the songs says this, I sing because what? I'm happy. I sing. See, how did you know it said that? I sing because I'm happy. You remembered it. Why? Because when you sing songs over and over, you don't ever forget those words. There are some songs that I sang in high school and listened to in high school. I wish I'd never heard those songs. You can sing a Christian song to those old tunes, and I don't hear the Christian words. My mind goes back to the old words of those songs. I'm telling you, brethren, it's important that you only listen to good songs, good singing. Don't you sing about a man that lost his dog and his wife and all that trash? And then you play the tape backwards and you can hear him coming back home. I'm telling you, we need to sing the songs of Zion. We need to sing songs that are out of the Word of God. We need to sing the truth of God's Word. As the people of God, brethren, we need to say to others, come, let's sing, let's sing. There are some of you that really like to sing. I thank God for you that can sing and teach others to sing and say to others, everybody here, even if you can't do anything but make a joyful noise, you can say to others, come. Oh, come. What are the five words that we're starting off with this morning? Oh, come. Let us sing. Is that a reason to tell people to come to the house of God to sing? Absolutely it is. And singing is an integral, important, vital part of being in the house of God is to sing the songs of Zion. Sing words of truth. Wonderful words, beautiful words. As long as they teach the truth of God's word, we need to sing. And the Apostle Paul said that we need to sing in the Spirit and sing. What are the next two words? Isn't it amazing? Now listen to this. I quoted a song a while ago and half finished the verse, and several said the words that finished that verse. I just quoted a verse of Scripture, and we're having trouble finding anybody that knows the rest of that verse. I'm going to say it again. The Apostle Paul said, sing. Sing in the Spirit and sing what? With understanding, yes, with understanding. Not sing the truth. Sing in the Spirit and sing with understanding. Sing. Come to the house of God. Say to others, come on, let's sing. There's nothing to make you happier than singing, brethren. It's good to sing. It's good to sing. Even when things are bad, it's still good to sing. Paul and Silas in Acts chapter 16. Paul and Silas were put into prison because of their teaching and preaching the Word of God. And when they were put in prison, what about you, dear sisters? What if you were put in prison? Would you cry or would you sing? That's a good question, isn't it? That's a hard question. You find me in prison. Brother Robert, what would you do in prison? Brother Robert has told me many, many times as he stands out in front of those abortion clinics and protests abortion and does streetwalk counseling and tries to stop people from killing their unborn children. He has said, Brother Billy, I beg you to pray for me that I don't get locked up. He said, I don't think I could stand it to get locked up. Now he sometimes is on the verge of being locked up. But his love for God and his love for those unborn children is so strong that even though his greatest fear is to be locked up somewhere, he still is willing to do what's right. Amen. Paul and Silas were cast into prison for doing what was right. And then the Scripture says, after they had beat them and they had put them in the innermost part of the prison and they had chained them up and done everything they could to try to get them discouraged after they had beat them and everything else, then the Scripture says, and Paul and Silas prayed and sang. Isn't that pretty? They sang down in that dungeon. I'll tell you, the prisons then were a lot different than the prisons today. They were terrible places to be. You could die in prison and nobody cared. Except maybe your family, but there was no courts or anybody else. They could beat you to death in prison, and nothing was ever done to those that beat you to death. Paul and Silas, while they were in prison, they sang. I want to encourage everybody here that you go tell others, come. Come to the house of God. Oh, come, let us sing. Come sing with us. Listen, brethren, when the people of God come to the house of God, they need to hear the people of God that are there. They need to hear them sing with every fiber of their being. Yeah. Don't you stand there with some hymnal and sit there and or halfway sing. The Word of God says, whatsoever you do, to do it with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. You go to a football game, you shout and holler and scream. When you come to the house of God, you need to get more excited than you do at a football game or whatever it is you like. Brother Tandy, if you hit a hole, did you hit a hole in one yesterday? I didn't think you did, because why? I didn't hear anything about it this morning. Played golf though, didn't you? But you didn't hit a hole in one. And if you had hit a hole in one, would somebody have known about it on the golf course? Okay. Listen, brethren, when we're happy, when we are unhappy, doesn't make any difference when you're well and when you're sick. When you're doing good financially and when you don't have a dime and you owe $10,000, $10 million, $10,000 doesn't seem much anymore. So you owe $10 million. Sing anyway. Sing. And go tell all those out there in the highways and the byways, come, let us sing. Come ye, let us sing. Go back to Psalm 95 now. In Psalm 95, he says in verse 1, oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. In verse 2, he says, let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. That's singing. Make a joyful noise. Brethren, it doesn't matter how bad things are in your life, you can make a joyful noise. You've got a lot of reasons to be happy. Doesn't matter. Don't tell me about your troubles. Well, I'm not saying don't ever tell me about your troubles, but I am saying this. When we come to the house of God, we need to be praising God. We need to be singing. We need to be making a joyful noise. I ought to be happy to be in the house of God. I ought to sing with joy. I love to watch Brother David. He's an old man now, and yet he stands there and he puts it, when he finishes singing, brethren, he is worn out. He is tired. He's worked. He sings. He puts everything he's got into it. And I thank the Lord for him and others that lead the singing. And when they sing, they put everything they have into it. Did you know happy, being around people that are happy and full of joy, it's contagious. Also, being around people that are sad and gloomy and sorry and murmuring and complaining, it's contagious too. Used to, when I was a salesman, man that came into work and he had a bad attitude, I'd send him home right then. I said, you get no pay today, go home. You can't come to work and be happy. You can't come to work with a good attitude. You go home. And it wasn't just because he wasn't going to produce, but his lack of production and his bad attitude would cause others to be the same way. And I didn't want to hear it. Don't tell me you can't sell. You can sell. It's a numbers game. You get out there and show it to enough people and somebody's going to buy it. Don't tell me you can't work. You can work. Don't tell me you can't sing. You can make a joyful noise, and that's singing. Sing from your heart. Don't just let your mouth say the word. Sing from your heart. Let it come from your heart. Sing. For the Lord is great God. That's what he says in verse 3. For the Lord is a great God. Now come down to verse 6. Here's a second come that we're looking at this morning. Verse 6 says, oh, come, let us worship. You hear that? Go out there. Everybody here, listen, brethren, if you haven't told anybody this past week, come to the house of God after last Sunday night, if you hadn't told anybody that, come to the house of God and he will teach us his ways. If you hadn't told anybody out there this past week, come to the house of God and he will feed us. He'll feed our souls. If you haven't told anybody, come. Let's come to the house of God and get some of the living water. If you haven't told anybody this past week, then I doubt that you're going to go tell anybody, oh, come, let's sing. And I doubt that you're going to tell anybody, oh, come, let's worship. That's what God says to do. God says that the bride will say, come. You know what that tells me? When I am not saying come, I am not the bride of Christ. I am not a part of the true church when I am not saying come. Everywhere I go, everybody I meet, I need to encourage them, come. Oh, come, let us sing. And then in verse 6, he says, oh, come, let us worship. Let us worship. And then he says in verse 7, he tells us why to worship. He says, for, that means because, he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. It is God that hath what? It is God that hath made us. You're a little sheep. You're a little sheep. You're a sheep. And you're a sheep. You're a sheep. You're the sheep of his pasture, and he's made you what you are. Precious. I think about some of you that are so sweet and so spiritual and so sweet and so kind, and I think, wow, what a beautiful child of God. And some of us are kind of like goats instead of sheep. We're kind of hard-headed sometimes, and the Lord has to take us and he has to whip us. But the Lord loves his people. Whether they act like goats or whether they act like sheep, the Lord loves his people. And the Lord is pleased when his people are like sheep that follow the shepherd. When the people of God are like David, who says, the Lord is my shepherd. I'm going to follow the Lord. When they fall down and worship him. When we turn to the book of Revelation chapter 4, we read about the 24 elders and the four beasts. And we read in the Word of God in the book of Revelation a lot about the heaven, the eternal heaven. And we read about those that fall down and worship him. Oh, I don't know if we know how to worship. The Bible says, and listen, brethren, you can get mad at somebody that lifts up the hands if you want to, but the Bible says lift up holy hands. So don't you ever, you're going against anybody, you're going against God's word when they lift up holy hands. If you feel led to lift up your hands, you lift up your hands. If you feel led to say amen, if you feel led to shout, if you feel led at the close of a service that you need to say something, unless you talk all the time, some people want to say something because they want to hear themselves talk. But if you feel led of the Lord, if God is the one that's moving you, then don't quench the Spirit. Worship him. Worship him. Worship his majesty. He's our Savior. He's our King. He's our Lord. He's everything. Worship him. Let me give you one other thing to say to people. You can choose any one of these or all. You don't have to tell them all six or seven things at one time. Tell them one. Pick out the best one you like. But here's another one. There's a lot more we could say on worship. Because you need to remember, a lot of people say, well, I'm worshiping. You can worship wherever you are. I have people say, I worship God down by the river on Sunday. I worship God in my tree stand. I worship God. Oh, listen, folks, you're wrong. The devil has deceived you. You've got to go to the house of God. If you're not going to the house of God, you're not worshiping him like you need to. You go to the house of God and worship, and then on Monday you can go to the riverbank and fish and worship him there. But don't be neglecting the house of God. The Word of God says we need to worship him in spirit and in truth. You get away from the truth and you stop worshiping right then. As soon as you get away from the truth, you just stop worshiping. Worship him. Now the last thing, and I'll close right here. The Word of God says in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16, let us, what's the next word? Let us what? Come, right. It's exactly right. Come. Let us come boldly. Let us come. Let us come. You want to go tell them to come? Let us come boldly before the throne of grace. You know what that's talking about? Going to the throne of grace is talking about prayer. When we come to the house of God, we say to others, come to the house of God. It's a house of prayer. I thank God that we begin every worship service by praying together, our Father, which art in heaven. I think it was of the Lord that we started doing that. And I pray that as long as you live, that you'll pray that, but always remember, don't say it, pray it. A day may come that, just like in the schools, they've said you can't pray the Lord's Prayer. A day may come when they may say, you can't pray the Lord's Prayer in church. You can't even go to church. Brethren, I hope you'll be like Daniel and you'll get out there and you'll open your windows up and you'll pray just as loud as you can. Pray to the Lord. Let us come. Come ye. Let us, what was the first thing we looked at this morning? Come, let us sing. What was the second thing? Come ye, let us worship. And what else are we to say to others out there? Come, let us pray. Let's go boldly before the throne of grace to obtain mercy and to find grace to help in time of need. May God help us to say to others, come ye. Come ye to the house of God. He will teach us his ways. Come ye to the house of God. He will feed our souls. Come ye to the house of God. We'll drink living water. Come ye to the house of God and let us sing. Come ye to the house of God and let us worship. Come ye to the house of God and let us pray. May God help us is my prayer for Christ's sake. Amen. Brother David, what number do you have?
412.
We'll stand as we sing number 412. If you love God and desire to serve God with the church, let your desire be known as we stand and sing number 412. Think about the words as we sing. I will sing of my Redeemer.
Sing, oh sing, of my Redeemer, with Bless his word to our heart and bless us in our service to him. Anything else before we're dismissed?
I know that I've already mentioned it, but I don't feel like I've given enough of a praise report. I know that everything that God's done for me, he's done out of his faithfulness for me. Nothing about that law. Thank Jesus.
Amen. Everybody, thank the Lord for God's blessings on Brother Brooks, to have a different job and be close to home and all the other ways that the Lord blesses Brother Brooks. Anything else before we're dismissed? Not Brother Robert, would you believe us in prayer, please?
Dear God, Creator of heaven and earth, hallowed be thy name.
Yes.
Dear God, we ask you to help us to always worship you in spirit and in truth. Dear God, help us to sing songs that will be in a way that will be honoring to you. Bless us, God, to sing songs and teach others. Dear God, we ask you to give us thankful hearts and help us to truly give thanks that Brooks has a new job. Dear God, just bless Brooks in that new job. Dear God, help others who are looking for jobs to guide them to the right job as well, dear God. And, dear God, we ask you to bless the young man with leukemia, the children in the community with leukemia and cancer. God, just bless them and bless their family, their parents. Dear God, the couple that's living, about to be married, dear God, just bless them. Bless all people with cancers. Bless all people who are sick and afflicted, dear God. Dear God, bless us as a nation to turn back to you. Bless us to be a nation that honors life more and more. Forgive our sins, have mercy on us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
I'm going to
Been busy, been working. That's a good thing.